Hello and welcome to Rhythm and Brews. We do a lot of different types of episodes on this show. Oftentimes it'll be me talking with a friend about a mutual area of musical interest. This is not that type of episode. We are talking about a style of music that I don't know all that much about. I've got two of my good friends. One is a returning guest, Sean Dutton. Welcome, Sean.
Hi.
And first-timer, Mike Byram, here to talk to me about EDM.
Hey.
So you guys are EDM boys, right?
I would describe, like, if there was one way to describe us, it would be EDM boys.
And it's probably your biggest shared musical interest, the two of you.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. You go to, going way back, going to shows and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You guys do MDMA all the time on the weekends. We'll get into the background and all of that. We always start with BYOB. Normally, we just have our beers that tie into the episode, but Sean or Mike, do either of you want to explain why we also each have a shot of Jaeger in front of us right now?
So basically, since like the first EDM show that me and Mike went to, we always would kick off the show with a shot of Jaeger. I figured we could bring that ritual here as well.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
I already took a sip of mine, but cheers.
Oof.
Love Jaeger. So burns. Smooth.
Burns so good. It burns all right. all right. Well, maybe I'll kick off our BYOB. Like I said, I don't know that much about the style of music, but one thing I do know is there's a ton of collaboration that happens between these artists and popular, well-known singers that you would know. So I brought Oma Gang's Collaboration 2016. It's a Doppelbach. I've never tried it before, but I tend to like these, although I can't drink that many of them because they're heavy as fuck. Mike, what do you got?
Cool. So I went with the Weinstephaner Lager today. So usually I like the Hefeweizen, right? But given that I was thinking about EDM shows, there's no such thing as drinking a heavy beer at an EDM show. I guess Bud Light would have been the top choice, but just decided to go with something I love, Bud Lighter. So
nice. Bud Lighter.
I brought a beer that I've never tried before. It's called Passion Fruit Guppy. I brought it basically because there's like this eel or serpent on it that is very colorful and looks like it might be tripping on drugs, which is
it's Pipeworks, right?
Yeah, Pipeworks Brewery.
Their artwork is always awesome. I think.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one before? That's like Ninja Unicorn or something like that.
I think so. I think you've had it before here.
But their artwork's always really cool. I can definitely see how that ties into the scene.
It's very hard to tie a beer to EDM.
Yeah, yeah. We had like a little bit of a debate between the three of us going into this, like what this would even be, and could it just be Jaeger? But I think that's as good as you probably can get.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's crack these open and get into it. Let's start by having you talk about how you got into EDM, how long you've been listening to it, just kind of the background.
I'm probably the newer one to EDM. I think Mike's probably been listening to it for his entire life. but I think my story starts where pretty much everybody else starts, and that's with Daft Punk. Just like everybody knows Daft Punk. One More Time, Get Lucky. They've kind of veered away from EDM lately, but that's where I started, and then eventually I met Mike, and he showed me a bunch of other stuff, and I was hooked.
How about you, Mike?
Oh, sounds right. He nailed it. So Daft Punk was the same for me. I was probably about 12 years old the first time I heard them, and pretty much never stopped. So,
yeah, I was actually surprised to find how many of these bands or how many of these artists' names I recognized. Just because it's so massive now that I wouldn't have necessarily associated someone like Calvin Harris with EDM, but he definitely is classified that way just because he's so mainstream.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I tend to think of it as more like underground
raves,
but you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, there's those two.
When I think of EDM, I think of The Matrix. Well, then, all right, well, You mentioned Daft Punk. Do we start there with our playlist?
Sure, why not? Seems like the right place to go.
This is a classic banger, a song I'm definitely familiar with.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite from them.
They've definitely gone a lot more mainstream now.
Oh, yeah. I love their Random Access Memories that they came out with a couple years ago with Get Lucky, Giorgio, and...
Yep.
Forget the other titles, but yeah, that was my jam for pretty much the whole year when it came out.
Yeah, and again with the collaborations, you got Pharrell on that on Get Lucky, and they've definitely got a couple other Nile collaborations Rogers. On it. But now they're even doing songs with The Weeknd, and it's like
Starboy, right?
Which
Star
I think
Starboy was great.
I think at least one or two of the songs that they did with The Weeknd are co-written / produced with Max Martin, which doesn't get any more mainstream pop than that. So.
Yeah, it's big. The thing I love about EDM is that it can kind of fit into like any genre. Like you could like even Paramore's like After Laughter, like Hard Times at the end of the song, it just randomly goes into EDM and it feels right.
The vocoder thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's off your playlist, Sean. Mike, why don't we have you do... what's the first one you want to highlight?
Oh, sure. Let's see. Well, since we're talking kind of about, you know, EDM mainstream versus not so much, or I guess Daft Punk going from what they did originally to what they do now, let's do the one by Justice, Fire.
Ooh, Justice.
That was another one of the names I recognized. I haven't heard this song, though.
Yeah, so this is off their latest album. So they used to be, 5 years ago or so, much more like Daft Punk. Actually, same, you know, French house kind of genre. And now they've moved way towards this, I wouldn't call it R&B, but, you know, much more acoustic kind of
the
dance floor sounding rather than pumping your fist
in the almost air, sounds, you know, like Jamiroquai or something like that.
You're talking about
I don't mean
Randy
that in a bad way.
Right?
I love Jamiroquai.
The one with Randy on it.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't really like that one.
I know them from maybe 5 years ago or so with songs like D-A-N-C-E. And,
right, that was off their first one, so big shift.
And this is going back a long ways. I'd say, like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, they're pretty old, I think.
They may not be as old as Daft Punk, but
true.
I remember, I think One More Time is about that old. Like,
One More Time, certainly.
Definitely
yeah.
late 90s, I think.
So do you know, I mean, obviously you're relatively new to the scene. It sounds like you've been following it for a little while. How much is it changed or evolved over the years from the Matrix rave days to
the Matrix
modern like Calvin Harris number one radio hit days? Like
I mean, the sound has changed, right? But I don't think things have changed too much, because when you think back to the 90s, there were things like, I almost put this on my playlist, Darude Sandstorm. At the time, that was
a
number one hit, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think of that.
And even the song from The Matrix, I'm pretty sure, was The Prodigy. And they're toned down, but they are still making music.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, a lot of other groups with similar sounds now, too, so.
And that's the other thing that's standing out to me now is how diverse and wide-ranging this genre is. Because you named like Prodigy, which that's the same. It's Firestarter is like their song, right? And I mean, a song like that is so different from something like Slide by Calvin Harris and Frank Ocean or anything Zedd is doing. You know,
there's so many like sub genres in EDM. It's kind of like metal. Like you have trance, you have like party, like you know. And then you have like booty stuff,
booty stuff.
Yeah, there's like booty songs. Like it's like all about twerking and stuff. It's really weird.
All right. Well,
those are usually my jams, but I didn't put them on my playlist.
If you had to say like what area of the genre you gravitate to most, what would you say?
I would say my next song is a good example of that. You want to play Bangarang from Skrillex? I feel like Skrillex and like bands like Excision are kind of like the metal EDM, which is like perfect for me because
like
I love metal.
Dubstep is kind of
dubstep. That's what it is. It's like my jam. Cause
I
like,
could see that because
it's
a very
mix of
it's
two
very,
worlds. It's great.
Yeah, it's very.
It's heavy.
It's it feels heavy and it has the intricacy that metal does, like the unexpected beats and syncopation that you might. I mean, if you translated this to a like four piece rock band, it would feel very metal because of the way the bass and main melodic line would be driven by, or how the guitar and the bass would be matched up. It would feel like that double bass, palm muted, triplet type of stuff. Yeah. This is another, the dubstep I think is also the most appealing for me, aside from the songs that you more or less could just call them pop songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got some of that stuff on here, like the digitalism and stuff, or like more poppy.
But it's so hard to listen to a song like this and not just be like, fuck yeah.
Like bang, you know?
As I was like looking through your guys' playlists and kind of acquainting myself with the genre, like I said, I was surprised by how many of these artists I knew, but it also jogged my memory from like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, a friend of mine playing a song by a group called Feed Me.
Feed Me. That's like Mike's like number one band.
And I remember him playing a song for me, but I didn't know if Feed Me was like the name of the band or the name of the song or what, but I remember being like so into the song he played and then completely unable to find it. I honestly didn't try that hard, but it was before the Spotify days for me anyway. So it wasn't like quite as easy to just type a name in and like find what you were looking for. But I think it's like something about a headshot. And there's just like a breakdown in it.
It's from that Canadian like TV show.
Yeah, the old
Pwned or whatever it is.
FPS Doug. Yeah, pure Pwnage. They did like Counter-Strike videos and everything.
I fucking love that crap.
That was the exact breakdown that my friend showed me that I was like, yes, that rules. And it's dubstep to me is like metal in that way where a lot of times when I listen to a metal song, I'm waiting for the breakdown.
You're waiting, the breakdown, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the best.
All right, Mike, what's you got another one for us to
Keep
this moving?
Since you mentioned Feed Me, first of all, the name of the song that you're looking for is One Click Headshot. But the one have here is called Strange Behavior, which is another... I guess I tried to make my list songs that I love hearing live or would love to hear live, so it's a lot more hype to them, I think, than other electronic music.
All right, here we go. I love the artwork for Feed Me too, like the little monster guys.
Gremlin dude. Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of the Mucinex monster.
Oh yeah. That's actually a good comparison. No, I'm never not going to see the Mucinex guy. I hate the Mucinex guy.
So fucking gross.
Yeah.
Every time you blow your nose, it's so hard for me to not be like, the Mucinex guy.
Just got rid of him.
He's like a ball of snot. And I feel like he's from New Jersey. Like
definitely.
He gives off
that vibe. Yeah. So this is another one that along with, I wouldn't call it dubstep, but it's also like if you hear it live, it's got that bass that kind of just rattles your heart, you know, when you hear it.
Like makes you want to dance.
Yeah, yeah. It's irresistible when it all comes together.
I was reading, I'm very well researched, you guys, but so I was reading about this and how the DJ movement has had like a lot of criticism of modern day EDM because of the sense that it's like literally a DJ shows up and presses play on an iPod and they're just playing one of their songs that people already know. And it's like weird to call that like a live music, aside from the fact that it's corporate in the sense that you're surrounded by other people also listening to that song at the same time. Do you guys have feelings or opinions on that?
I do. It's definitely weird. Like, why am I paying money to go see this? But like at the same time, like when you're talking about like traditional bands like Paramore or Third Eye Blind, you have to wait until they come around. But every Friday night, if you wanted to, you go to the EDM show and just dance and drink.
But I guess the better question is, do you see a value in going to see dead mouse press play on an iPod versus going to see some, you know, local DJ do the same thing on a Friday night?
So dead mouse wouldn't just press play on an iPod. They do like mixes and like,
it's a they,
I think so, right?
Dead mouse, just the one guy.
I'm not well researched. but like, yeah, they'll a lot of the times when you're at an EDM show, they'll play their songs that you know and love, but they'll like mix it up a little bit. They'll do like a on set improv remix.
Yeah, I think the big thing about the live show is that it isn't just pressing play, at least for what separates the men from the boys, like basically, DJs. In these shows, is that, yeah, you'll have the main stage will be people that are mixing kind of on the fly. They haven't pre-recorded this. You know, they come in and they say, this is kind of what I'm feeling for the show right now. See how the crowd likes it and just start mixing in more songs as they go.
Because you know? I feel like, yeah, now that I think about it, I think back to like footage I've seen of Daft Punk performing, and they're very busy. Like, right. they're always doing something.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, like, how easy it would be to just create things that are essentially fidget spinners, but, like, look like they are musical equipment.
Right.
Press play on your iPod, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, doing this fidget spinner for a second. All right, now I'm going to switch over here and do this fidget spinner for a half hour. Maybe I'm grossly oversimplifying
what's happening
at these shows.
You are a little bit, but, like, lip syncing is a thing, too. So, like, it's... I feel like that's
for sure. Yeah, I'm not. I'm in no way trying to pass judgment. I'm just. I think part of it is so much of the money that artists make is from live shows. Hands down.
Definitely, because they don't make anything.
So it's hard. I think what the awkwardness of showing up and pressing play is just the awkwardness of figuring out what music looks like in the 21st century, where music is starting to become more and more electronic and move away from live performance. And how do you continue to have
artists
who make a living and make that fun, while also doing music that really can't be performed live in the same way?
True.
All right, so that's you, Mike. Sean, what do you got? Move us forward.
Let's step away from the classic EDM for a little bit and put on Wolves from Digitalism. This is one of those poppy songs. I think I've showed it to you a couple times.
You came on for the 90s episode, I think you played this song for me.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually playing soon, and you should come with us. But
Youngblood Hawk.
Yeah, Young.
Is he going
to
be there?
That's new information to me. I doubt Youngblood Hawk will make the show. I think he has like an Indian tribal ritual or something.
He sounds busy.
A vision quest, maybe.
Yikes.
You can edit that out.
I don't think I can. That's a good rule of thumb, by the way. If music is playing, it cannot be edited out.
That's fair. That's whatever. But like this...
this is definitely more like the classic verse-chorus type of song. Just more in that pop, classic pop.
Yeah, it's like a good mix. Like this band has a singer like in almost all their songs. He's got a good voice.
This is Digitalism. Yep. That's the name of the like officially released under them.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting too, because they do their other songs where they have vocals, but I think it's all them. This is like,
yeah, it's just the
their
two guys.
One-off where they had another vocalist.
Yeah.
Usually there are artists out there that do a lot of producing the electronic music, and they'll have vocalists, but it's always like a different guest, you know. This one they just decided not to do it themselves.
I found like a lot of albums too where people would collaborate with the same person for the entire album.
Right.
So they would have it would just be like one singer singing all the songs on that particular album. Which is interesting because I think for most of pop music's history, the voice is like the signature thing about a musical product.
Yeah,
so,
the name behind it.
Exactly. And so it's interesting that you're now in a position where the people who are like maybe writing or producing the song, their name is listed first, and the voice that you hear on the track is credited second. Sean just stepped on the buzzer on iPad for our drinking game later.
That's on the floor under my foot.
I was like, what the hell was that? All right. Mike, what do you got for us?
Cool. Yeah. I'll do something a little in the poppy kind of realm, I guess. This one has no vocals, but it's definitely like a more mainstream melody, I would say. Let's do Late Night by Odessa.
Nice.
Some sexy guitar work right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'd be really interested to know is the extent to which live instrumentation is involved in the processes of these artists, because that's a cool guitar riff, but I have no idea if it's like sampled from a totally different song or if the artists themselves are like, I had this cool idea for a melodic guitar part, let me go in and play that, or they have a studio musician who comes in and does it.
Right. Yeah.
And it probably varies by artist.
Yeah, it definitely varies by
artist. It does. I've heard some artists that do live sets. Surprisingly, Pendulum is one of them, which is like a hard drum and bass group. But I think Odessa actually also does live sets, so they may have performed this, you know, somewhat acoustically. So.
We did a Beastie Boys episode recently, and that was something that I thought was really interesting about them, is that they're all musicians and they would play some of their own instruments, because a lot of their, even though it's like rap or hip hop, a lot of it is guitar driven. And
would you say rappers aren't musicians?
Depends on the rapper, but I'd say
I definitely agree with that.
That's fair.
Only in the same sense that I'd say certain singers aren't musicians.
Agreed.
It just depends on the level of professionalism.
Right.
Yeah.
Not everyone that opens their mouth is a musician.
That's true.
I'm living proof of that. It's interesting, too, that you can, like you said, you call this more of a poppy one, despite the fact that it doesn't have lyrics. And I feel like you, in order to have some sort of mainstream success or to be considered mainstream, you would have to have some sort of vocal element to it. So there's this weird one foot in the door, one foot out for a lot of these artists, where they're happy to do their underground thing, which this is probably really only going to appeal to people who would consider themselves EDM fans, but also they're doing collaborations with people who are on top 40 charts.
Right.
That's true.
Always tell me, by the way, if we're playing one of these songs and you're like, there's a breakdown coming up, you're going to want to keep this song going.
I don't think there's a breakdown on this.
No.
No.
That's probably more for the Skrillex stuff.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple of his songs where I was like, this is boring. This is boring.
Yes,
and then I was
his
like,
newer,
oh shit!
His newer stuff is not that great.
Really?
It's all very like reggae influence, and it's like really weird.
I remember when he first got huge, my cousin Melissa, we were at like family Easter dinner, and she decided to put music on, and for some reason
Easter
like
dinner
that, yeah
okay
and for some reason like all of it. Do you guys not believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ?
No, I just don't believe.
I believe in
Skrillex,
Easter dinner.
I don't believe in Skrillex being
that's,
an
well,
acceptable
that's what
choice.
We for years referred to it as a very Skrillex Easter, because she went on like dubstep, and my grandma was still alive. So like my grandma was there listening to this,
and she
we're
was
playing
like
apples to apples or something, like doing like a family activity after
classic
dinner.
EDM
but
game.
There was Skrillex in the background, and it just felt so weird and wrong. Anyway, that just
yeah, that sounds like a night. Sounds like a good night. It's a good story.
And then we all dropped Molly. You don't drop Molly, do you? Probably just take it.
You can drop it. Like, you can drop it on the ground. Yeah.
That sounds expensive.
What is the term for Molly?
It's got to be take. So like, take. I feel like it's just take pill, it? Any kind of what, pill, what do you drop? Would take it. Acid.
Acid.
Drop
acid.
Oh, drop acid. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Drop it.
I swear. Everyone knows that.
We're a bunch of narcs right now.
Not me. I clearly I'll stick to the weed and beer.
Sean, what's next?
Well, it depends on how long
you guys are like DJing this episode today. Have you thought about that?
Well, your part.
As long as we kept the beat going between songs, we would be doing a set now. So
you guys are showing up to a set and pressing play on an iPod for an audience of one.
We're EDM artists. We get paid millions of dollars.
Oh, is that in your contract?
Yeah. Okay. How long do we still have? Do we have time for two more?
Yeah, let's do two more.
Each? Okay.
Does that feel good to you guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Then I'm going to request Easy Love by Mastercraft. This is another song that has vocals in it. And it's a little poppy.
Yeah, it's like all vocoder vocals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that can be hit or miss is like, I feel like the vocalists that you are drawn to, it's such a subjective thing and it varies for everybody. So
for sure.
There could be an EDM artist who has a collaboration with one person that I'm like, that song rules. And then a collaboration with another artist where I'm like, I never want to hear that ever again. And if I do, I'll be pissed. And I mean, there's also a lot of freedom in that because it means you can like do songs for different types of voices. But I think it does mean for me, I can't imagine ever being like super into a specific EDM artist because they could always just release a song with somebody that I hate and it wouldn't be for me. You know?
Yeah, I get that for sure.
At the same time, artists like Avicii, I just can't get into that at all.
I actually can't get into Avicii either.
Yeah. Once you get into like Avicii and Tiesto, people like that, it's much more, I guess it would be called big room house or something like that, where it's very fist pumpy, you know, just
like bro,
trying to please a crowd over here.
I told you he's been listening forever.
He's very well researched.
I do like some of Tiesto's songs though, more than Avicii. I've never actually liked an Avicii song.
I've never heard of Tiesto.
He's like,
well, he's certainly past his prime now.
Yeah. You probably never will hear about Tiesto.
Savage. This sounds really familiar, though. Okay, can someone explain to me how you pronounce this group's name?
Mastercraft.
Right.
That looks right. It's like Hebrew. There's no vowels.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sean, I think you're up.
That was actually my song.
I confuse you guys all the time, Mike.
Let's do Run Up by Major Lager.
Ooh, Major Lager.
Major Lager.
Major
Lager.
Major Lager.
Ooh, yeah. I can fuck with that.
So I wanted to throw at least one remix on the list, because remixes will, I feel the more give you an idea of the tone of the person doing the remix than the person who did the original song. So while you can kind of get the Major Lazer themes, especially with like he always has like a Caribbean kind of theme, you know, but the sub focus,
which I'm frankly all set with. And no, it doesn't matter with the style of music. If somebody comes on with a Jamaican accent, whether it's fake or real, I'm immediately tuned out. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's the Jamaica trip that we had.
Maybe. I think it's Shaggy. I think it's Shaggy ruined Shaggy. It for everyone.
Well, that was the Jamaica
Well, it wasn't
trip.
Him, though. So.
Oh, dang.
Fuck you. I love that joke. That's like maybe the best joke that's ever been made on this show.
That was a good joke. Another thing about remixes that is cool to the EDM scene in general is like no one really like all the major like bands like they like traditional bands like with the five piece don't really cover other people's bands at their live concerts or whatever. But
it's rare, like maybe
it's
one
rare,
song
yeah.
per set.
Yeah,
or something
definitely.
Like that.
It's kind of like the lifeblood of EDM almost. Like everybody remixes their own stuff and like everybody else's stuff, and it's like kind of a huge collaboration. Like you said, like
it's like beard. One giant musical orgy almost.
Yeah, which is great.
All right, Sean, I think now I'm correct in saying it's your turn.
All right, you are. And this is my last song, and it's going to be Pluck Pluck by The M Machine. This is a very special song. This is me and Mike's ballad. And this one will have, like, a good breakdown.
All right.
Well, not a breakdown, but, like, a good chorus. This is also a little weird. Same time, but not the weirdest
you
song.
Don't say.
I love this song because there's no trying to hide behind like being an artist or anything like that. They just got up and said one day we need to just make the most hype song we possibly can. Yep. And this is what it sounds like.
Yeah,
so
what does that mean?
Just it's just one of those songs where when you hear that breakdown you just
get
kind of can't
up?
Resist it. Okay, yeah. And there's no other saving grace for it.
Like they pumped a jam.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it.
Is this the breakdown that you're talking about?
The breakdown, yeah. It's like when they drop the bass, I guess. Which is what the breakdown is in EDM.
I feel like this would be better high.
Oh, most EDM is. But yeah, this is like... this is me and Mike's jam. Like, it's like kind of an inside joke of ours. Like, if there's a little too much of something going on, we'll be like... Oh, that's a lot of hot sauce. Maybe too much hot sauce.
That's is like that a line from the song?
Yeah, that's a
lot
of
like,
bass.
I'm not tracking.
That's a lot of bass. That might be too much bass. That's one of the lines.
Got it. That's a long walk. So I'm glad you walked our
might
audience
be too much
it.
Walk, you know? It's just easy to put in anything.
All right, Mike, I think it's time for you to bring us home.
Sure. So the last one I'll do is Mayday by Boys Noize.
Yes, I was wondering when you're going to play Boys Noize. I
had to bring some Boys Noize
yeah,
in.
You got to bring the Boys Noize.
My absolute favorite. So.
This album is so good.
Yeah, I'm
and
glad.
And the remixes, too.
Yeah, the whole two-part remix album is great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he did something like this with this album, because the one before that was... pretty different, like the way Daft Punk or Justice went basically with their stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas his first album that came out was more like this, so I'm glad he kind of returned
to
his
180
roots.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do either of you guys have any experience doing like musical programming or anything like that?
Nah.
No.
I did hear that the Deadmau5 artist is opening a class to teach that.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I was actually, maybe.
I can't claim to be any good at it, but I do more like conventional programming for some of the songs that I do. I try to replicate the drums that you and piano that you would play in a regular four or five piece band. But the idea of being like super creative and almost it's almost like computer engineering, like you're bringing that type of mentality to musical creation. There's something really intriguing and cool about that to me.
Definitely.
And probably why so many people who like to think of themselves as coders love EDM and rave music.
Yeah, I mean, it's great music to listen to when you're like crunching the code.
Also,
for sure.
AKA The Matrix again.
Yeah.
Which is, I think.
That's what EDM is. It's The Matrix Rave. That's what it is. That's what it is every day. Even
follow the white rabbit.
In the shower, it's just Matrix Rave. Morpheus is there. He's like, red, blue, or blue pill.
They're both
like,
ecstasy.
Both. Just give me both. I want the steak and reality.
Sounds like it's building up.
This is kind of weird.
I do. This is huge. This kind of thing is huge in pop music now too, where it's like that big build up. It goes on for a really long time, and like the singer's voice like gets really distorted and weird, and then it like goes into the chorus again or something like that. I blame EDM for that. That is the influence of EDM on pop music.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing in the sense that it's very overused now, and it's basically the exact same thing every time. It's in like 10 Rihanna songs.
I guess that's true, but that's just like pop in general, just following the trends of other musics.
Yeah, and then repeating it until it's dead.
Until ad infinitum. Exactly.
And that's our last one, isn't it?
I think so.
Sean, will you do me a favor and pull up the iPad?
The buzzer that I was stepping on earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on.
Do either of you guys have any final thoughts on EDM, what it means to you, your history of it, anything like that before we get into this game?
My last thing that I would probably say about EDM is I don't think me and Mike would be as close as we are without it. I think it's something that we share in common and kind of like defines our relationship a little bit. There's obviously more stuff, but that's not in the scope of this podcast. That's about it.
That was really weird and cryptic.
I'm weird and cryptic.
Are you proposing to Mike?
Hey, Mike.
This is it.
Mike, how about you? Do you want to say anything similarly bromantic back to Sean?
Don't be hurt, but I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to propose to me?
I'm not going to do the reverse proposal.
That's fair.
It's fair. Not typical, right?
Yeah. All right. Guys, for this drinking game, like I said, I know one thing about EDM, and that's that they love to collaborate. So I'm going to play for you a series of 9 songs. For each of them, you're going to have to tell me who is the artist that EDM artist is collaborating with. Who's the singer on this track?
So this would be the weekend of Starboy.
Yes, and these are all household names that you should be able to get from their voices on their own. If you aren't able to get them, if neither of you are buzzing in, I'll drop some clues.
So let me get this straight. So you're gonna say like, oh, Daft Punk, and then we're gonna like collaborate, and you say like, oh, they're collaborating with the weekend.
I'm gonna play this song, and you're gonna tell me.
Who's the artist and who they're collaborating with?
You don't have to tell me who the artist is necessarily. You just need to tell me who they're collaborating with.
Okay, I gotcha.
And these are, again, this is me making this game. So these are all, well-known songs, things that you would have heard on the radio, and artist names who you should know. Not all of these songs are songs that I knew, but I definitely know the artists, and I think their voices are really recognizable.
Okay.
How this works is you're kind of competing against yourselves, but it's kind of a casino mentality. If I play the song, the first person to ring in on the buzzer gets to make a guess. If you get it right, both me and your opponent have to take a drink. If you get it wrong, only you have to take a drink.
So you're going to be drinking a lot.
I sure am.
Because you're going to be drinking
every time someone gets it right. No, I drink every time someone gets it right.
If you get it, if you buzz in and get it wrong, only you drink.
Okay, gotcha.
You guys ready to start?
Sure.
Sure.
What's the rules?
This might be
the
hardest one. Yeah, you can have your hand on the table.
1 inch above the
Yeah. You can actually have it above the button if you want.
I'm not really super competitive about this.
This is probably the hardest one, I think, but we'll see how you guys do.
I actually can't really hear the music.
It's very quiet. It's just like the intro right now.
Ellie Goulding?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I can.
It's Major Lazer featuring Ellie Goulding.
I don't hear anything.
Do you hear it now?
There it is.
All right. So, Sean, you and I have to take a drink. All right. Next one. Oh, I should say, some of these have more than one collaborator on it, so you just have to give me one of them. Does that make sense?
So this one has more than
one. So if we both get one and we're both right, you drink twice?
Only the first person gets to guess.
Okay.
I don't like that rule.
Doesn't sound very EDM right now, but.
I don't know this one.
She used to date Justin Bieber.
That means nothing to me.
Is that a short list?
It is relatively short. I didn't say she fucked Justin Bieber.
Oh, jeez.
I could not separate the list for you.
She's a name that is the same as a very famous Latin singer. First name. Last name, same as the Adams family.
Selena Gomez?
Correct.
I wouldn't classify her as an EDM artist, though.
It's not her song.
Well, yeah, I know, but like she's featured?
She's featured on this song by, I don't know how you pronounce this artist
name.
Oh,
so like it could be an EDM song, and okay.
It's most of the time it's the EDM artist featuring the singer.
Right.
You have to tell me who the feature is.
Youngblood Hawk would be the answer.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Did you guys drink for that?
No.
I like this song.
Do you know it?
I know the song. I don't know the answer. Yet.
You guys need a clue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huffington Post.
Oh, Ariana Grande.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It actually sucks as a mechanic for me to give a clue in order to make myself drink. All right. Next one.
I like that song though.
I wanted to put a couple of his on there because he's got one with Hayley Williams as well, which is a banger. You guys need a clue?
I don't know the singer, no.
I don't even know the song.
Weird Dancing.
Weird Dancing?
Yeah. In like a bodysuit.
Weird Dancing in a bodysuit.
That gives me nothing.
I think we might be drinking here.
Yeah, I'm making this rule up on the spot. If I can give you the most obvious clue and have you guess it, you both have to drink. The last clue I'll give you is chandelier.
I'll drink to that.
It's Sia.
Oh, Sia. Oh, okay.
Weird hair. Weird hair.
All right. Sean.
Can I name the band or the singer?
It actually is the band.
Is it Coldplay?
It is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know if it was just Chris Martin or not. That's his
Take
name,
a drink.
Chris Martin.
I thought it was just Chris Martin. Chris Martin, frankly, but yeah, no, it's the whole band somehow.
Cool. It's an unmistakable voice. I miss
sure
old
is.
Coldplay.
Old Coldplay? Old play?
Old play, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge Old Play fan. That fucking rules. That's like my new motto now.
There's no way this is who I think it is.
It might be.
I mean, I don't know this song, but I'm going to guess. Is that Ice-T?
It sure isn't. You got to take a drink. It's Snoop Dogg.
Oh, all right.
This song, I'm going to warn you up front, it sucks. I don't enjoy it in the slightest, but this was like the most recognizably featured song by this artist that I could find. This is a singer and not a band. You guys need a clue?
I think I do.
I do, yeah.
She, I think, has done some co-hosting on The Voice.
Oh.
Sean.
Gwen Stefani.
It sure is.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's a pretty bad song, and I love Gwen Stefani. I think she's great. Well, No Doubt.
Gwen. No Doubt's great. Yeah, I don't really know. She's much had a lot of garbage solo
her
stuff.
For her single stuff.
This is going to be a race to the buzzer. You guys are going to get this immediately. Do you want to have your hands close to the buzzer, not close to your ears?
Well, I
Sean?
Can't hear the music without doing this.
Oh. Well, which? Okay.
You want the featured artist, not the Pharrell? Artist that is credited. Yeah. Yes, it's Pharrell.
I wouldn't have got that.
We heard that song a billion times on the radio. I don't think we need to hear it right now.
Any longer.
Guys, this is the last one.
Okay.
You ready?
What's the score so far? Have you been?
The score doesn't matter.
Oh, all right.
Not today. I don't have any prizes.
I thought there
to
was
give
like
away.
A prize at the end of every Rhythm and Brews episode.
I'll call you out in the episode description as the one. Actually, no, I won't, because then that just like. Eliminates suspense, so you get nothing. Yeah, you'll right, get you'll right, get that, nothing unless
no, that's it. Fair. I like nothing.
That is true. You dislike most things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I like arguing. Justin Bieber.
Correct.
Oh wow. What is this one?
Where Are You Now? I think or so.
Where Are You Now? Yeah. By Jack U, Skrillex. And Justin Bieber. You did it. You guys made it through this. That wasn't that bad, right? Like,
no, it was actually kind
of
fun.
I had to give some hints on a couple of them, but for the most part, you guys did great. Anything to plug for yourselves, either of you?
No.
Mike, do you want to talk anything about your actuary work, anything to tout there?
No, spreadsheets, right. And EDM.
Got off to a good start already.
Any final thoughts on EDM, the beers that you're drinking, anything at all?
Well, I'll say about EDM, I hope we get to do something like this again, because I think although it was an EDM kind of themed podcast, EDM is also a large umbrella, you know. There's
definitely.
There's a lot of different niches under electronic music that we could have gone into. I think we kind of tried to stay on what's good live.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Just scratched the surface what's going on in the EDM scene.
Interesting. So this was all stuff that you, if you could see it live, that's what you, well, I guess that's maybe a good question to end it on, is for both of you, if there was one EDM artist you could see live, who would it be?
M Machine. Almost saw them. That one time.
Is that the one that we went out to
and
in
then
Cambridge?
We bailed on because
I
what's that place I, called? Sonia or something like that.
Sonia.
It was
the place
barren.
It used to be TT the Bears, right?
Yes.
In Cambridge.
Right next to the Middle
Boston.
East.
Right next to the Middle East. And how many it was like
there was like zero
there
people
that?
There.
I wasn't there for that, but I heard that there were maybe five.
It was
ten
the DJ.
People
it was
in there.
The DJ was there.
Yeah, it was depressing. We looked inside for this EDM show, and
I'm not really sure why
people were
M
in
Machine
the audience. But
set
he wasn't
up
on.
There.
He
they
wasn't on stage
the,
yet, right? It was like his opener.
No, it was some other dude.
I feel like it would have been worth going to.
Probably, but they don't have a liquor license, so like that's like half
that
the
was,
fun.
That was weird too. But liquor, we already established, for is not an EDM substance.
No, it is. Well, you just mix it with
liquor
other stuff.
For sure, just not beer. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's the other thing is
beer's
it seems
a hard
to be.
Mix.
I thought maybe that's just like a stereotype that I have in my head of EDM music.
Just
it's
like lots of drugs,
the drug culture.
Oh yeah, I mean it's
on Wikipedia. They were right. Like drug culture, and it's like this whole huge article about EDM drug culture and all the different drugs
people
do
like ecstasy
do.
And stuff and like
ecstasy
people with
and
like
ketamine, which I was like yikes, if someone was like here's some ketamine, I'd be like dude, you need help.
Yeah.
If they gave me ecstasy, I'd be like,
maybe. Well, it's true though. I mean, does anyone go to like a, I don't even know what's popular outside of, does anyone go to a Justin Bieber concert and do some Molly or something? Like,
I'm sure they do.
Somebody out there does.
Yeah. There, you know, one thing that I learned the older I get is there's something out there for everyone. If it's taking Molly,
Justin Bieber concert.
If it's dropping Molly and going to a Justin Bieber concert,
I'm not gonna lie, that kind of sounds sick.
You know what? There's probably a fucking podcast about that, frankly. Yeah. Well, I think we've covered at least EDM 101, if you will. Like you said, there's probably a whole lot more we could dive into on a more genre specific basis. Kind of like we'll do with metal in the near future. But I think we can call it quits for now. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun having you on. And to everybody listening at home or wherever you listen to your podcasts, here's to you.
Maybe at Justin Bieber concerts.